All right. This is what we call a bonus episode. I got my nephew here. We're about this. And what we're talking about is...
Time out. Check it out. Look, it's a takeover. It's a takeover. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are normally hearing Mr. YBL himself. You better live. But guess what? It's WBL. You better live. Who the Baptist is here with everybody's favorite uncle, Mr. YBL, for a bonus episode. We kicking it to y'all today. Hey man, it's gonna be a little ratchet, a little holy, a little sanctified, everything in one. Man, oh man, I appreciate you for having me here for this bonus episode, baby.
So I'm gonna let nephew take over right quick, right? But what he wanted to do was, let me say this. So what we're gonna talk about is our favorite Bible verse, right?
And how we apply that to life.
Yes. Okay. All right. So look, let me come down. Shout out to Nate Too Cold on the ones and twos. That's his track right there. I appreciate
Nate
you being
Nate. Man, you yeah. Too cold on that, baby.
He tough.
Tough.
That's my guy.
Tough as nails.
That's my.
Yeah.
So nephew.
Tougher than them nails that held Jesus to the cross. Come on, baby. Come on. Woo know a little bit in that. Woo know a little bit, baby. Who grew up in the church in Orange Grove? As Unc say, who the Baptist?
Which church did you go to in Orange Grove?
I went to Greater Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church number one.
What church? What street was that on?
It is known as J. Blair Street. 501 J. Blair Street.
Is that by Booker T?
No. We in Orange Grove.
Oh.
We in Orange Grove. You know you got
it's by 12 Nazarenes.
You got Nazarene and you got Aimwell. Those two churches right there.
I got you. I
used
know what
to be
about
by
that.
The Boys and Girls
I got
Club.
You. I got you. I got you.
That's when
I
the projects you. Was jumping on. Come on, stay with me, baby. Stay with me. That was before Orange Grove got regentrified.
Right, and it's regentrified now.
Yes, sir.
So you grew up in that church?
Yes, sir. I grew up in the church. I grew up in Orange Grove, but you could never tell.
Why you say that?
Never tell about me being growing up in Orange Grove.
So what was it like? I gotta ask you this. What was it like with the church? Because I know where Aimwell is right now.
And Nazarene is right across the street from Aimwell.
What was it like growing up there?
Man, like me growing up in the church. So I'll tell you, I don't remember anything before I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because my whole family grew up in that church.
Okay.
But my grandmother, she died when I was one.
Okay.
And I believe after my grandmother died, my mom just took a leave of absence from the church.
Uh-huh.
So every
generation basically went to this church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Generation after generation.
After generation.
All right.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. So that, you know what I'm saying? When you talk about, we're going to call it church nepotism.
Wow. Because why do you say that?
Well, you know,
I know why, but okay. I want you to, I'm
like, if, okay, so if we look at what nepotism is,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the greatest one as of the years now is, you know, Prime get his boys when he was at Jackson. They left their colleges that they were committed to
right.
to come to Jackson.
Right.
And then from Jackson, they went to Colorado.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And even, you know, one of the top ones as of recently, you know, or the last 2 years, Bronny and,
right.
and Brian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when we look at nepotism, you know, we think about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's
as
true.
A parent putting their kid in a place to be successful.
That's true.
Right? So we going to say church nepotism.
That makes sense. Which nepotism, now that you brought that up, I got to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something, and this right in that vein, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw something where people were mad at Prime and for setting Shadur up, Shallow. But then they say, hey, why didn't people get upset when Eli and Peyton Manning's dad did the same thing?
Archie, yeah.
Archie.
Well, you know why? Because the NFL and the world never saw that. That was the first time that happened.
What you mean?
When they said, I cannot remember, and I wish my good brother Sean was here, but I cannot remember who had the number one pick that year. But Archie came out and said, if y'all pick Eli, he is not coming.
That was the Chargers.
The San Diego Chargers
drafted him, and he refused. You sure right.
Archie came out and publicly said it before the draft.
Okay, so let me say this.
And that was the first time like the NFL ever saw that.
This is what I thought was unfair. Nobody made a big deal when Eli Manning, a rookie, just got drafted by the San Diego Chargers, which is a major organization. Right? Yeah. He basically pushed the helmet to the side. Like, no, I don't want that.
Right.
Like, I want to go to the Giants. And he went to the New York Giants. So the divide came was when Archie did that, Eli did that, based off their name.
Mm-hmm.
So when Prime does it, based off the Sanders name.
That was, oh my God. I don't even remember what year that was.
The year that Eli?
That was like early 2000s.
But that's hypocrisy though, nephew.
But yeah, it is. But think about it like this. If we do something and we the first ones to do it, they don't know how to combat it. They don't know if it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. They don't know if you being a martyr for the situation or what.
Wow.
You feel me?
He said a martyr. That's crazy. That's a strong statement.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll say, I'll say probably may have been like early 2000. Maybe 3, 4, 5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here it is, fast forward to 2025.
Uh-huh. Different, man.
Now you got a black dad. Not just having one.
Three sons.
No. But not just having one son to enter the draft. You got two sons.
Yeah.
You got a bonus son. Right. Travis Hunter.
So that's why I said three.
Yeah, right. So you got three.
That's
you got
crazy.
Three sons, basically, coming in the same draft. Oh no, we ain't finna let that happen. We ain't about to let that happen.
That's crazy, bruh.
Yeah.
So what's your stance on that whole thing?
Man, look, me as a parent, if I can set my kid up for success,
I will. So they blame LeBron for Bronny.
Man.
They gave him flack.
Because we on the church Lord.
No. Man. Seriously.
Forget that. Forget what they talking about. Me being a parent, if I had an opportunity to set my son up for success, to play with my son,
right,
to get all this dollar money, because you got to think about it. That first game, everybody was tuned in.
Everybody
to see them
because they wanted to see them on the court together. And when they did the substitute, they made it special.
And you know what? You know what I just found out. Because you know, I listen to other podcasts and sports stuff that the NBA players get some of the revenue money, or they split some money with the NBA
for what,
like TV time,
oh, social media,
marketing.
Okay.
Like, I think they split some of that money. That's why the WNBA is trying to fight to get some of the same rights
because
the
of
NBA.
That. Right. I see.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's how the NBA players get some of their money. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
So you think about it like this: we in LA. LA is one of the biggest markets for basketball.
Right.
Has always been one of the biggest markets. It's even starting to be one of the biggest markets for football.
You're right.
You feel me?
You're exactly right. The Raiders.
Baseball. We'll just say L.A., California
is a hub.
It's a yes.
For that.
Yes.
It's a genre of sports, entertainment. Market. Yeah.
Everything.
Right.
Right? You know? So if I can generate some of this revenue money and get some of this, why not?
All right, so let me go back to this before we go, because I love what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Prime in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
he brought something to Colorado But they were 11-1. I mean 1-11.
They was, yeah, they only won one game before he got the year before he got
when he took over. They won 3 or 4 games.
No,
first year.
I think the first year they probably won 6.
Okay, they went 500. Then the second year they won. They went 9-3. Mm-hmm. Oh, the third year.
Yeah,
9-3. Okay, so does he stay? Is he gonna stay there, or does he leave? Is he gonna do what what's his name did with Florida? The coach from Florida went from there to Ohio. What's his name? Oh man, it's because now Deion's saying he got health problems and that he's just coming back.
Oh, you're talking about Urban Meyer.
Is he gonna Urban Meyer? You know he ditched them.
Yeah. He ditched them for Ohio State.
Facts. Yeah. Is Deion about to ditch Colorado? It's the third year.
I don't think he is not now. Like I don't.
Shadua's gone.
Shiloh gone. Travis Hunter.
Travis gone.
Right, but at the same time, like
what does he have to stay there for? You got Dallas offering him a job. You got
Dallas
probably 3 months. I know. Okay, Dallas offers plenty of people job. But if you got Deion Sanders at Dallas, it'd be over with.
Yeah, but I feel like Deion has the keys to do whatever he wants in Colorado. You know what I'm saying?
So you think he's staying?
Yeah, and then at the same time, like I think
Florida State.
I think with Deion, like if he moves, you know, I think that Florida State boat has gone.
You think so?
Yeah, because they should have gave it to him a year or two ago.
A year ago.
You know what I'm saying?
They should have given it to him last year.
I feel like if his next move is in college, it's going to be to the SEC.
What team though? What school?
Shit. They gonna find a school for him.
Which one? He's not gonna go to jail. Deion ain't just going to no in the school.
Man, look, he gonna get one of the top ones. Okay,
he's not going to Missouri.
He's not gonna coach Missouri. He's not going to Missouri. He's not gonna get a Georgia because Kirby Smart.
He's not coaching Ole Miss.
Because Lane. He's not gonna be coaching there.
Mississippi State.
He might get an Arkansas. He may get
I don't know about that now. Arkansas?
He may get the Auburn gig.
I'll give him Auburn.
But you know, like I feel like the only successful college to NFL coach that I've seen has been Pete Carroll
with Stanford. I mean,
USC to Seattle.
My bad.
Nick Saban tried it when he left LSU and went to Miami. It didn't work. I think Steve Spurrier back in the day.
He failed. Washington.
It didn't work out.
And he had Deion Sanders as a DB. Do you know he had really? Deion Sanders? Steve Spurrier had Deion Sanders as a safety.
I never knew that.
Playing a nickel.
I never knew that.
Playing a nickel. That's when Deion had the turf toe. That was after his glory days, but he still had Deion Sanders. He had probably the other fastest guy in the world with Washington. So he had a hell of a safe secondary.
Never knew that.
Spurrier did, and he failed.
Yeah. So, you know, like.
Because he didn't know how to talk to grown men. And I think more money than him.
And I think the thing about it is, like, Deion loves being hands-on with kids. Even though they got the NIL,
all those boys is sons.
You know what I'm saying? Like
all of them,
you can reach a kid better than you can an adult,
right?
Because you know, like one of my favorite quotes comes from Frederick Douglass.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
I like it. It's better to raise a kid.
I'm paraphrasing right because I've been drinking a little bit.
But than a broken man. That is a fire quote.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like a fire quote from Frederick Douglass.
So I feel like Deion feels like that. He would rather work with young men than adults. You know?
Wow. And he does well with them.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, having said that, because, look, I got to ask you this. We didn't talk about everything, but what you on here for?
Okay, so, that's what that's saying. That's why. That's why we're here, baby.
That's why this is bonus stuff. So, what's your you approach me with this? What is your favorite Bible scripture and why? And I let you pull it up. I know what mine is.
My favorite Bible scripture is Psalms 133.
Okay. Read it and then tell me why.
Psalms 133.
What part is it? The whole thing, or
yeah, the whole thing.
Okay,
it's a song of degrees of David.
Okay.
And it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity."
I like that.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron. Even Aaron's beard.
Yes.
That went down to the skirts.
What are you talking
of his garment?
That's fire.
As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion.
That's fire.
For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Now I cannot wait till you tell me why that's your favorite verse. I'm all ears.
So I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I look at this scripture, and it means a lot to me.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm gonna take really the first part, the first two verses.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together
in unity. Okay.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the way I'm in life right now, it's about, like, my friendships that I look at as my brothers.
That's fire.
You feel me?
I like that.
Because my group that I have, if I look at my group and I'm at the bottom of the totem pole,
mm-hmm,
that makes me feel happy because all my brothers are doing good.
Okay.
I know where I'm at.
Okay.
I know how I look, my outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm at the bottom,
I got a question.
And my brothers are up.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
I like that. When you say you're at the bottom and your brother's at the top, and you know where you at, right? That's confidence. All right. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that also show you that you still have room to grow?
Always.
Okay.
Always.
So the reason I say that is because I heard a man say that if you're the smartest person in the room, leave.
Yeah, you leave. Because
you're in the wrong room.
Not growing.
You're in the wrong room. So when you said that, I like that.
Yeah. So if I'm at the bottom of the totem pole and I'm looking up and all my friends are good, that not only gives me something to strive for, but it makes me happy because it lets me know that my circle is not for the weak.
That's fire, nephew.
Yeah.
Dang. All right. So look, I got to come by. So my favorite Bible verse is John chapter 1. I'm kind of torn. Can I get a honorable mention?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah. Come with it. What you got?
John 1:1 first is my main one. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why that's my favorite verse. Bible verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." It's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's my favorite Bible verse. It's because I grew up hearing people say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me." I hear him say that.
Yeah.
And then I hear people say, words, speaking is like toothpaste. When you squeeze it out, you can't put it back in.
Ooh.
Once you say it,
is that?
When you try to put it back in, you make a mess.
Yeah.
That's like speaking the wrong thing. So, in the beginning was the Word. That's how important what we say is
righteous.
You don't get to take it back. So the first thing God did was say something.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do nothing. That's bold.
Yeah.
you gotta have confidence if the first thing you do is speak and not do.
Right.
So you speak, you declare something. So I like the fact that God was bold enough to say, in the beginning was what I said.
Right.
I didn't touch nothing. I didn't shift nothing. Like a gangster, I spoke.
You know what? Can I share something with you?
Sure.
And it's funny. It's funny that you say that that is... Is that your favorite or that's your honorable mention?
That's my favorite.
All right.
I'm going to give you my honorable mention.
And it's funny that you say that. And your favorite verse has... It talks about the words.
Right.
I'm going to share something with you. I don't like talking in front of people.
Why not? I can't tell.
I just don't. I don't
well, you hide it very well.
Because you know what? Like all the positions that I have been in have been in positions of, and this is what I tell my lamplighters, my young men that I help
mentor. Which I would love to meet.
That I mentor with, you know, with my other brothers,
right.
Like Royal Alpha Chapter, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Right.
Shout out to the bros, root to the bros. I tell the lamplighters all the time. Like, I don't like talking in front of crowds. I don't like talking in front of people. But as a black man, when you're talking to people, you gotta command the room.
You have to.
And I learned from a young age, because in high school I was in JROTC.
Mm-hmm.
College, I joined ROTC.
Right.
I joined the military.
Okay.
I became an officer in the military. Now, like, I've been a coach volunteering on the volunteer level, from Park Lee to high school. Now, you know, I'm director over the lamplighter program. So
right.
I have been in positions where I have to command the room.
Okay.
I have to project my voice. I have
right.
to talk and get the word out there.
Right.
So I've been thrown in these positions. Not because necessarily I want to, but because mm-hmm. there's a need for me to be in these positions.
Mm-hmm.
So it just come natural.
It's funny that you say that. You don't like to, you know, I don't know if it's the fact that you don't like public speaking or as much as you're uncomfortable with
it. I took so many classes in public speaking when I was in college.
Did you do that to make yourself more comfortable?
Well, I took it as an elective.
But was it?
And then once I got in the class,
I saw it was purposeful.
I saw, yes,
okay,
the meaning and the purpose behind it. So I took like additional classes.
So I said that to say this, or I asked that question to say this, rather than make the statement. You said that it's something you don't like to do, uncomfortable to like. But you know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that we really uncomfortable doing is most of the times the stuff that we do best,
right? Right.
We're most effective, and it's crazy that I think when we get pulled out of our comfort zone, we categorize it as something we don't like doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually something that we were made to do.
You're right.
I've experienced that same thing myself. So that's why I asked you that question. But you're good at public speaking. And you, here's what I tell my nephew, Sean, your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You have to alpha the room.
Mm. Which is basically like commander.
You have to alpha it. You, in your mind, you have to be the best looking, the strongest, the most powerful mind in the room at that time. In your own mind, you have to be.
Right.
When you, if you get thrown in a cage with 10 pit bulls and you're a chihuahua, you cannot think like a chihuahua and survive.
You got to think like that pit bull.
So, and you're thrown into an uncomfortable situation that you think, hey, I'm not made for this. Yeah, you are. You just got to start thinking like it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good word. That's a good word. You know what? That's a good word.
Come on, man.
You might, whoever listening, you might not think that you made for it, but you really are. That's the best right. thing for you.
Oh yeah.
The most uncomfortable things are the best thing.
Yep.
Because you saying you're uncomfortable. Oh, I'm uncomfortable speaking in public, but you ain't got no problem speaking your opinion.
But see, I think the reason why I do a good job at what I do is because I run off no scripts and I'm relatable.
Organic.
That's it.
I like that. So my honorable mention, because we got 24 minutes to get, look, let me tell y'all something.
Hey man,
I'm gonna feed them this little thing. They gonna want some more.
Man, look, hey, man. When it come natural and organic,
it's organic. So here's my honorable mention: John 17, verse 1-3, and Jesus says, and it's written red, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That's my honorable mention. Here's why. But one, John 17 is the longest recorded prayer in the Bible.
Okay.
If you go look, he started praying at the beginning. He prays for believers, future believers, and he prays for his disciples. So three different prayers. The whole chapter. So in his prayer, he starts out by saying, I want them to know what eternal life is. He said, and then he turns around and tells them what eternal life is. The reason that that's so special to me is because we live in a world now that's is secretive. When you run across something good, people don't want to spread it. They keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
Small circle. Don't tell nobody your plans. But here Jesus is in John 17 saying, hey, y'all, I want y'all to know what eternal life is. That's the best. You can't. Eternal life. Then he turns around and say, this is what it is.
Right.
That they may know, to know God and the one he sent. That's eternal life. That's my honorable mention. And that's why. Because it's almost equal to John 1:1 for real. It's not even, I fret calling it honorable mention, because it's right there. That's fire, bro.
Man, look, I think we talk about like an honorable mention, man. I'm not as versed as knowing the Bible and the books and the script,
right,
the verses and the right numbers and
right. That's not impressive.
But I just know, like I said, growing up, we always had to learn Ephesians chapter 6, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Right.
And I didn't learn the whole thing, but you know, that kind of stuck with me.
But you knew what it was.
But and then, like, also, when we used to go to junior Usher Board meeting, we always had to say, a verse before we gave our little change. And our deacon that was over our junior Usher Board, Deacon King, he always used to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So that's one scripture. Day, all us was like, man, we going to say deep verse.
So we all said
deep verse. Blessed are the pure heart, for that's the
he got
mad. Like, it was about 20 of us.
Wow.
He was like, next meeting, y'all go and look in the Bible and find your own verse.
So y'all, he got mad because you know what's crazy? At least y'all used the verse though.
Yeah.
Oh, Deacon got mad. What was his name, Deacon? What?
Deacon King.
Is he still alive?
He's still living.
Wow. Shout out to Deacon King.
Shout out to Deacon King.
Listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you what my nephew did. We did we recorded my 100th right before this.
Oh, yeah.
And then right in the midst of us eating and celebrating, he said, hey, I got some bonus content. So I said, you know what? Say less.
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing it. So this ain't that. I think this might be the first of
hey, man.
So most stuff to go. Because what's crazy is that out of all of my nephews, right, this joker here is the least one that I would be, you would think that we would sit up and have a biblical conversation, man, with. And what's crazy, we've been talking about it though.
Yeah, of course. Like, man, I got so many. You know, and the thing about it is I give you another fun fact. So while I was in the Army, I actually wanted to go to seminary school, and the reason, like, the Army had a program to where they would pay for it,
uh-huh,
and I just wanted to learn about the different religions,
right?
But they said, like, the stipulation was once you graduate from seminary school, you had to declare, I guess, like a religion,
right?
And you had to preach. I don't want to preach. I just wanted to learn more about the religion.
So that stopped you?
Yeah, it did.
Because you didn't like public speaking.
Well, not just because public speaking, because like I didn't feel like that was my calling.
Well, I understand. Okay, I can see. But the structure of those programs, use it, it's just like a requirement that you just do that. Because I remember when I went to seminary, I hated it, dude. Yeah. I skipped class. You ever somebody skipping class
in skip seminary? I skipped class
on the Lord.
Boy,
matter of fact, my sister came and picked me up when I skipped class.
Unc is a preacher of the word.
I hated it, bro.
Skipped on the Lord.
I hated it.
No, the Lord is like your dean. I didn't skip on the Lord.
I skipped on them rusty Negroes he had up there teaching. That was, you know, like,
yeah,
that was saying polygamy and monogamy. I said what I said. My teacher.
Oh, wow.
You heard me. He said, and this. I wish we would have shut this off. It's your fault. We're going to go over it. My Hebrew teacher in seminary school, and he was so proud. And then we're going to let y'all go out there. He said, okay. He was from Pritchard, too. I hate to say it.
Wow.
He said, okay, we're going to learn about polygamy.
Polygamy.
And monogamy. Monogamy. When he said polygamy, I said, what? I'm sorry. You say polygamy. I'm not finna let that ride. I'm raising my finger. Index finger. Excuse me. Could you say that again? What was that?
The church finger.
You know, polygamy. I say polygamy. Yeah, and he said, you know, polygamy. When you know marriage, when you just, you know, when you're married to plenty of people. And you know, monogamy. I say, you mean polygamy and monogamy? You know what he said? Some people say potato, some people say potato.
Man.
Polygamy has never been pronounced polygamy,
wow,
bro.
Wow.
And he was, and look, he had a bachelor's, master's, doctorate. What's another degree above that?
Blessed.
So he had at least his doctorate, bro. Talking like that.
Man.
I have no respect for somebody. That's
right.
That's how he talked. And he was proud of it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So let me say this before we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fair to say that when it comes to this life thing and this Bible thing, that all generations got something to offer.
Yeah.
You can't omit a generation because they're younger or they talk different or they dress different. You know what I'm saying? It's still the same thing. Principles are principles, dude.
Man, I'm telling you right now, like, you can have me on anytime. We can talk about any and everything.
Watch.
Like, what the thing about what I say is that, you know, like I said, I grew up in the church. Mother, like, even to this day, she's still a Sunday school teacher. I know enough about the Bible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Do I live my life
100%? Nobody's perfect.
Of course not.
Nobody's perfect.
Can I like fire off Bible verses here and there? Of course not.
Of course, right.
But we could talk about it. And that's the thing, like, I love having you, Sean, Pastor Jay, is that I could talk and get my spiritual cup full
and be yourself
and still be ratchet.
Bruh, I love you, man. I love you, bruh. You my nephew for real. You family.
Like, I like, man, look, I can have a whole conversation about, like, man, do they, like, how do y'all,
so look,
how,
now,
how do y'all retain these scriptures?
Here's an idea I got, and I'm gonna have you on for this. I have a segment that I call Did You Know, when it comes to the Bible, because a lot of people, when they read the Bible, we've been taught the
we read it but we don't retain it.
No, not the retaining part.
Well, I know me.
I'm talking about getting down to the details, not really teaching exactly what God was talking about. Yeah. We elephant in the room it.
I gotcha.
We do, like, oh, that's the elephant in the room. No, let's stop with the elephant in the room. We need to address the elephant in the room. Maybe we'll have so much molestation, all of this. So I got some Did You Know stuff. that me and you could talk about. You could be like, wait a minute. Because it's some stuff that God was saying that a lot of religious people wouldn't. They'd be like, oh, that's blasphemy. No, it's not.
Yeah.
God said it. And it's in there. So I'm going to have you on.
Man,
most I'm telling you now, don't play.
I'm
you live in Sims.
Man, I'm around the corner.
Thank you. Y'all heard him say that, right?
I'm around the corner.
Hey, look, so look. If y'all want Woo the Baptist back on, man, just, man.
Yeah, you going to be back on. They ain't got to ask for you.
When Unk post it and he drop it and go, you know, y'all shoot a couple stars on Facebook.
Facts.
Shoot the stars and shoot the comments. Say, Woo the Baptist.
Just Woo the Baptist. That's all I want y'all to say. He coming back. So, look, I'm looking at your T-shirt and I see the Woo print.
Oh yeah,
explain.
Man, look. So the Woo print LLC, man. That's my parent. That's the parent company.
Okay.
That's my baby, man. That's what everything that I'm doing is falling up under. Like I, you know what I'm saying. Like you gotta have your foundation.
Okay.
You know, so the Woo print is basically like the foundation, and from that, man, like we just trying to have so much stuff. Like one angle, we got Wooisms that's coming out.
Okay.
You know, I'm dropping a gym here. I'm working on a 501c3.
Okay.
Nonprofit.
Okay.
You know, that's gonna be tailored to doing stuff in the community.
That's what I was about to ask you. How, concerning the community, how does Woo print?
So I'm still working on the name for the 501c3, but it's basically gonna be working for like the homeless people in the community, the veterans.
This stuff.
Like
veterans, dude.
The veterans.
Oh my goodness.
So one thing that if you ever notice around your birthday, on Facebook, you can sign up or have people to donate
to a cause. Right.
And one thing that I've done in the past, maybe probably about 5 or 6 years, I have taken a liking to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay. I heard about that.
So most of the time, like when I give or when I do things in the community, it's tailored to the veterans.
Okay. I like that.
So
because I'm a veteran.
Thank you for your service. Shout out to the veterans. Right. So that a 501c3 that I'm thinking about doing. Okay. I also want to start a scholarship fund.
Okay.
You know, so the Woo print is the overall parent company, and then I'm gonna have these branches.
I like that.
That come up under the Woo print.
I like that. Yes. I like that handle. Woo print, the blueprint. I like that. I like the catch. So y'all, listen. So what can they find in that? What can they-
man, look, you can actually go right now, just as of right now, follow the podcast, Woozers Podcast. Okay. We're on all social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Be on the lookout for the Woo print.
Okay.
The entity itself. And then once I get everything else flowing with the scholarship fund, with the nonprofit, man, we're gonna have like one little link tree. You can just go to everything. But right now, what's popping is Woo-isms Podcast.
Shout out to Woo-isms, bro.
Shout out to Woo-isms, my good brothers, which is actually Uncle Rick, real nephew Sean.
Facts.
Hesley. So you know Woo-isms, you got Big Hesh, you got you got me Woo, and then you got our good brother Jay Easy. And then also check out our new venture that we have is Woo-isms. It's Levi Sims, the hostess with the mostest.
My dog, Levi.
Also, the good brothers at Hefe House of Cigars.
Okay.
We came together. It's a triple threat into one. It's called Whiskey and Sticks After Dark. That's the newest venture that we got going on.
Cool.
And if you know Woo-isms and if you ever heard Levi, how he does his thing.
Fire.
Now, we done took it to a whole other level.
That dude, Levi's. Hey, man, shout out to my brother.
Shout out to
Levi Sims, the hostess with the mostest. That dude that dominated the hosting industry, bro.
But, man, look, I just want to appreciate you, man, first and foremost. If you have not listened to the 100th episode,
facts,
man, go and check out the 100th episode. And also, man, like, Unk, keep doing what you're doing, man. You know what I'm saying? YBL, the YBL Facts. Clothes and the YBL
everything,
brand.
Bro.
You better live out here.
Let nephew cook. Y'all don't stop it. Hey, man, I appreciate you, man. Shout out to Woods. Shout out to Candace and Bam, man. Yeah,
shout out to my man.
Facts. Yeah, Queen. To inspire you, man.
Inspire the whole team.
Facts. Content via family, bro. Everybody involved. The city of Mobile. You feel me? Like, shout out to y'all, man, and everything you got going on.
Hometown. Love it.
Right. Anything you want to tell the people before we get out of here?
Man, I done said everything I need to have said. I'm just happy to be here, man. Thank you once again for allowing me to come with the idea and for us to do this.
Bro, I appreciate
the organic. I'm looking forward to everything.
This ain't the last one. I think we done started something.
Hey.
And it was nephew idea, bro. This my real nephew, too. I know this dude, man.
Hey, even if he said I was fake, nah, you can't get rid of me because I'm here.
Ooh, that's fire. Shout out. Hey, listen, y'all. It's your boy, Mr. You Better Live. We're living life in victory every day. I got Woo the Baptist in the building, y'all.
That's the only time y'all call me that when I'm on this podcast.
That's his surname. Shout out to Nate Too Cold on the ones and twos. Listen, shout out to my pastor, man, Pastor Joe and Pastor Linda, Mount Hebron Church Ministries, man. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You gonna shout your pastor out, man?
Man, shout out to Pastor Lester Bell Jr.
Lester Bell Jr.
AKA Pastor Jay over at Momentum.
What y'all doing at Momentum?
Momentum, man.
Shout out to Momentum
in Creola, man.
In Creola.
Yeah.
We out, man. Peace.
Hey.